and gone to heaven. I stood just outside the eastern gate. The man from within said, "Have you been born again? And is your name written in the book of life?" I told him all the deeds that I had done. I told him all the trophies I had won. Then Jesus said to me, "Have you been set free? And is your name written in the book of life? Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go." And turned and left me standing there. I knew that it was too late now for prayer. Oh, my sinner friend, if you want to make it in, then your name must be in the book of life. Church on Sunday, though I never knelt in prayer, please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. Please search the book again.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Combs. What a sobering thought that is. And, you know, I guess what's so sobering about it is it doesn't have to be that way. It just really doesn't have to be that way. God has provided every opportunity for people to be saved. He's given us opportunities after opportunities after opportunities. You know, as a child of God this morning, I wonder how many of you could join me if I had a raise of hands and say, "You know what, God gave me so many opportunities to be saved before I actually got saved. It's incredible, the grace of God." I don't know how many opportunities God gave me to be saved, but listen, I promise you, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count of all the opportunities that I had, and so many of them went by the wayside. And, you know, it's not church attendance. It's not doing good things. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus made it very plain, very evident, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's only one way, and we're either going to go that way or we're going to go the opposite way one day. We're going to face a thrice holy God, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Can you imagine the last words that you ever hear with human ear is, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity"? I don't know about you, but folks, I have anxiety attacks when I think about that. Because it doesn't have to be that way. It's a simple choice to put your faith in Christ. It's just coming to Jesus. It's swallowing your pride. You say, where are you going with this, preacher? That's what I want to talk about today. You ever wondered how Lucifer became Satan? You ever wondered how such a perfect being that once led the worship and the praise of God in heaven one day became such a person as he is, the enemy of God today? I think about that oftentimes. And you know, yet the Bible points out why and how Lucifer became Satan today. Take your Bible, Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, and then Revelation chapter 12. Got enough fingers to put there to hold your places there? Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, and Revelation 12. Now I want you to listen carefully. While you're turning there, I'll give you just a moment to find all those passages. And for those of you that are new to Christianity, let me help you with something. Long before there ever was an encounter between the serpent and Adam and Eve, there was an encounter of that same serpent before thrice holy God. Before there ever was an Adam and Eve fall, there was a fall that preceded that fall before that time. See, it didn't all just start right there at that particular time. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28 give us a pretty clear picture of what Lucifer was at one time and what he has now become. So would you stand with me as we begin reading in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter number 14. The scripture says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Uh-oh, listen now. I will be like the Most High. Boy, we got a serious problem here, don't we? Whoever this person is has now made himself not just equal with God, but above God. Did you know that the person that spoke these words, God identified him in verse number 12 as Lucifer, son of the morning? Let's learn more about him in Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Ezekiel 28 and verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Follow me now, verse 13. Thou hast been in the Eden of the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, and onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was, follow this now, created. Lucifer was a created being. You say, who created him? God did. So how can that which was created say to the Creator that I can excel above you? You know what? There were many times in Scripture God used the illustration, how can the clay say to the potter, I don't want to be this. I'm going to be whatever I want to. It can't. You say, preacher, that's nuts. This was nuts. And by the way, can I tell you something? He's injected a lot of people with this nutty thinking as well. Now listen to what else it says. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covered. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Uh-oh, underline this. Things are about to change now. Till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mount of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. Now, so the parallel verses that we just read Isaiah gives us the same picture that Ezekiel gives us about Lucifer. That at once he was a majestic being leading what seems to be the worship of God in heaven. But something happened. A choice. In a moment of time, Lucifer became Satan by a choice. Now, Revelation chapter 12. Find your place in Revelation chapter 12. God gives us a little bit of glimpse about how this all came to pass. We don't have time to read the entire passage, but Revelation 12, verse number 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Did you notice God never refers to him as Lucifer again? He says that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now follow me now. Whatever Isaiah 14 and whatever Ezekiel spoke about in chapter 28 and how wonderful he was at one time, now we find him being cast out of the presence of God, cast to the earth. Now, Revelation 20, you say, how long is this going to last? Well, until God comes and takes care of business upon this earth. Now, I want you to look at Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, praise God, and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented. Who? The devil. Day and night, forever and ever. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm camping out on that day. You say, preacher, no, we shouldn't be happy about somebody else's demise. Well, I'm happy about this one. Because he has persecuted people for centuries and centuries and centuries. And he has injected them with the same poison that he poisoned his own mind with. That's man trying to elevate themselves to the place of God. In our society, folks, today, it's called humanism. It's what it's called. And it's running rampant throughout our nation today and throughout the world. I want to speak to you today on that subject, how Lucifer became Satan. Now, Father, would you bless us now in the few moments that we have? And would you teach us, we pray, precious Holy Spirit, from the Bible? And we ask that you'd open our eyes, open our minds, open our spirit this morning to what you have for us. And Father, would you reveal to us, would you expose in us the very thing that caused one of the most beautiful beings ever created, called Lucifer, one day to make a choice that would cast him out of heaven to this earth and condemn him forever as Satan, the persecutor of the brethren, the accuser of the brethren, the deceiver, the father of lies. How did it all happen? Well, it happened in a choice, we know. And we pray that today our eyes would be open. You'd speak to us, we ask now in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, there was a time in eternity past when the heavens were filled with beautiful music in praise of the Most High God. Angels were singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Maybe there was hallelujah to the King, or "Great is thy faithfulness, O great Jehovah." And all of these sounds and all these wonderful things were happening in heaven. The heavenly choir sang. They worshiped the Creator, the great God of all things. Listen, there was none in heaven at one time who did not worship God. There was a day when all was in perfect harmony. You see, the master conductor of this massive heavenly choir and the director of all the praise and worship of Almighty God was none other than God has identified him at one time. His name was Lucifer, son of the morning. And he identified him as the one created by God, put in charge of the praise and worship of Almighty God in heaven. Yes, there was a time when Lucifer loved to worship Jehovah God. Yeah, there was a time when Lucifer bowed before the throne of God in humility and surrender and service. Yes, there was a time when Lucifer stood before God and opened his mouth. Listen now, and the Scripture says he was equipped with beautiful tabrets, which seems to indicate that when Lucifer opened his mouth, sounds could come out of his mouth in harmony. You say, man, that would be beautiful music. Yeah, beautiful sounds of music proceeded out of his mouth. You see, Lucifer was that anointed cherub of the most important position in heaven. And you know what his number one objective was in heaven? To glorify God. To glorify Jehovah. To bring all praise and all glory unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was Lucifer's job in heaven. You see, Lucifer was very good at what he did. He was very good at worship. He was very good at praise. Oh, by the way, he was very good at music. Until, the Bible says, something changed. God said there was a day in which he found iniquity in him. Now, we've learned, church, what iniquity is, haven't we? We've learned that iniquity is an attitude. And when you go and find out how God described Lucifer prior to the attitude, it was a wonderful description. He was a beautiful being created by God to bring praise and glory and worship unto God. But after iniquity was found in him, he was not so beautiful. You see, we found out that Lucifer became Satan because of a change of attitude. His attitude was no longer praise and worship before a thrice holy God. His attitude now, I will ascend into heaven. I will make myself as unto God. I will be equal with him. I'll lift up my throne above him. You say, you mean that Lucifer had a choice? Yeah, sure did. You know how I know he had a choice? Because the Bible said he had a choice. He was created by God. Hey, listen to me, folks. God doesn't want robotic praise. God wants sincere worship. He wants worship from the heart and the soul. You say, well, preacher, what happened then for Lucifer to go from the most important created figure in heaven in praise and worship and music director unto the most notorious, hated, despised, destructive figure in the history of the world? What changed him from Lucifer, which means bringer of light, unto Satan, the destroyer and father of lies? How could such a drastic change take place in such a perfect environment? Listen to me, heaven of all places. Of all places, this took place in heaven. Well, Adam and Eve were confronted by similar situations in the Garden of Eden, which was a perfect place, right? And likewise, they fell to the dark side of their own choices. You see, today, folks, the fact is that God created Lucifer with a will to choose. And Lucifer had the opportunity to choose loyalty and be loyal to the music program of heaven, be loyal to the praise of heaven, be loyal to the worship. Oh, by the way, and the type of worship that God likes. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on today in the name of worship. Listen to me, and pardon my vernacular, that ain't worship. Hey, God likes it. There's a specific way God likes to be worshiped, right? You say, well, God ought to just take it as it comes. Let me ask you this. When you go to a restaurant, they don't cook your steak right, you just take it as it comes? No, you don't. You're not going to take that, right? Because there's a specific way you like your steak. Some of you like it well done. My wife likes it that way. That's what I call burnt. Now, I like mine a little bit when you stick the fork in it, it goes, just a little bit. I don't need the tail to be wagging, but I do need to have a little bit there. Now, what I'm saying is God created Lucifer in these things. Why? Because he wanted genuine worship, genuine music, genuine praise without manufactured praise, without manufactured music. He wanted it out of sincerity. And by the way, genuine praise and genuine worship comes through love, loyalty, and the labor that's required in order to get these things rolling in the presence of God. You see, Lucifer had the favor of God, but chose, listen now, to relinquish that favor for his own self-interests. You ever wondered why someone would make a choice that they made when they knew the end result was destruction, but they made it anyway? You ever scratch your head about that? And you think, why are these people doing this? They know what the end result is. It's kind of like a drug addict. They understand the potential that if they stay on drugs, they need more and they need more, and the end result could be death, but they continue to do it anyway because they're addicted. That's why. And when people become addicted to sin, my friend, they need more and more and more. And listen, even though they know the end result is destructive, they continue to feed themselves over and over and over with it, more and more and more. Why then would Lucifer forfeit everything in a futile attempt to overthrow God when he knew he couldn't overthrow God? You say, you mean, preacher, he actually thought... Well, let me ask you this. There's a lot of people that actually think they're going to get to heaven, and they think that God, for some reason, owes them the right to go. And listen, let me ask you this. Why would we think that we could go to heaven without Jesus Christ when the Bible says it's impossible to do so? If He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him, that means He's the only way. Why would we think that we could get to heaven any other way? Well, let me ask you this. Why did Lucifer think he could overthrow God? Why did Lucifer think that he could exceed the power of God and push his throne above God? You see, something surfaced in the heart of Lucifer that he had never felt before. And you know what? That same seed has surfaced in every person in here. That same seed that Lucifer had never felt before and he didn't know existed in the resource of his own mind and choices. You say, preacher, what was it that surfaced? What was it that poisoned his mind against God? And to give him some idea to think that he could exceed the power of God and excel above God. Listen, my friend, it's called P-R-I-D-E, pride. And every one of us, my friend, listen to me this morning, you are absolutely infected with it. And you know how you got infected with it? By that guy right there. He has infected us. He has injected pride through the old stinking flesh. You see, this one thing transformed Lucifer into Satan. A choice, a moment, in just a moment of time. You see, the moment that he chose pride was the moment Lucifer was no longer and Satan was born. The devil was born. The destroyer was born by a simple choice. And may I say to you this morning, my dear friend, that that same pride that lifted up Lucifer and caused him to become Satan and caused him to leave a perfect environment, a perfect situation, he had everything going for him. Listen, he was the praise and worship person. He was the musician. He was the leader in heaven of all the wonderful things. How would you go from that position to the most notorious criminal ever known in the history of the world? How could that possibly be? You ever wondered? You have Christian friends. You ever wonder how they can go from sitting in the church pew for years to now sitting on a bar stool right now? You ever wonder how that happens? You ever wonder how a person can go from being a soul winner at the door and open their Bible and telling people how to be saved to not even wanting to come to church anymore? Not even wondering. You say, how does that happen? It's the same thing, folks. It's just the same thing that, listen, in your mind you could not fathom Lucifer being in a perfect environment ever coming up with this idea, right? But here's what happened. What swelled up in his soul was something that swells up in our soul every day of our life. It's called pride. You see, listen very carefully. Here's some of the things the Bible described about him in Isaiah 14. He said, I will be like the Most High. In verse 13, he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Ezekiel 28, verse 17 says, his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. He was corrupted in his wisdom. And now he appears in the Garden of Eden. You see, before there was a Garden of Eden, there was a Lucifer. You see, by the time the Garden of Eden incident comes, Lucifer is Lucifer no longer. What appears in that serpent is not Lucifer. What appears is Satan now. The beast full of pride. You say, how do we know that? Well, you tell me. Genesis 3:1, when Eve says, no, we can't eat of that tree. God says we couldn't eat. Here's what he says. Yea, hath God said? Now listen, here's what he does. Are you sure about that? Are you sure that that's what God means? Oh, that old Baptist preacher up there at Trinity Baptist, he just think that's just his interpretation. Amen. Hey, you sure there's only one Bible? Oh, no. Satan says, no. All Bibles are the same. All Bibles contain the same truth. Can I say something to you for those of you that are new to Christianity? That's baloney. How can things that are different be the same? They cannot. God either has His Word for us today in the English language, which there is no question in my mind is in the King James Bible. Amen. And so, listen, yea, hath God said? He said, oh, come on. You shall not surely die. Now listen, in verse 5, he's got her attention though. You mean I won't die? He said, no. Let me tell you why God doesn't want you to eat. Because He knows if you eat the fruit, your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as gods. He said, the reason God doesn't want you to eat this fruit is because He's afraid that you will become like Him. That's why He don't. I'm convinced we don't have the entire story right here. I'm sure that there were some more that possibly came to this, but God gave us in His Word everything that He wanted us to know. Hey, He wasn't afraid of Adam and Eve. Can I say to you also, there were other victims besides Adam and Eve that fell to Satan's scheme. Adam and Eve fell and sin entered the world. Moses fell and it cost him the promised land. Samson failed and he committed suicide. Lot failed and it cost him his family and his wife. David failed and it cost 70,000 people their lives. Peter failed to his victim as one of his victims and denied the Lord 3 times. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift you as wheat. He wants you. And can I say this morning to you, my friend, He wants you as well. He wants you. He wants to infect your life. Peter fell victim. Hey, listen, Judas fell victim. He's in hell today because of it. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 fell victim. They died foolishly holding back that which they had sold. Demas fell victim to him and left God for the world. You see, Satan's pride causes people to do things they would not otherwise do. Hey, listen, he wasn't afraid. He confronted God. He wasn't afraid. He confronted Job. I'm going to go a step further. He wasn't afraid. He confronted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. All through the Scripture, we find Lucifer, who became Satan, confronting the people of God. Hey, listen, Lucifer was once the praiser. Now he's Satan, the tempter. Lucifer was once the worshiper. Now he's Satan, the condemner. Lucifer was once the heavenly musician of glory. Listen now. And now he's the earthly musician of destruction. Do I need to stop right here for just a minute? People love music, don't they? Well, listen, I'll just tell you, music is kind of the sacred cow. Don't touch my music. You know why? Because music is very controlling. You say, oh, no, it won't. Folks, have you ever gone back and read some of these things of what some of these people listened to before they went out and killed a bunch of people? Let me encourage you to go back and read about the Columbine High School situation. And then come tell me that there are certain music that can't make you do evil things. Yes, it does. Just as there's good music, folks, there has to be bad music. And it's up to us to identify that which is bad. Listen, did you notice when Lucifer fell and became Satan? I can't find anywhere in Scripture where God stripped him of that ability. See, once he was leading the music of worship toward God, now he's leading music against God. You see, he was the heavenly musician. Now he's a musician of destruction. You see, Lucifer was once on his knees before God. Now he demands that people bow before him on their knees. You see, Lucifer was once adored God, and is now Satan, who hates God, despises man and the creation of God. What Lucifer poisoned himself with to become Satan is what he wants to poison you and I with, and it's the same seed of pride. And listen, that's the reason Paul said, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And today he's trying to inject all of us with the serum of pride. Listen to what the scripture talks about pride in Proverbs 6, verse number 17. The scripture says, God says, yea, six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto the Lord. Would anybody help me out? Come on, help me out. What's the first one he mentions? A proud look. Hey, listen, folks, I'm not real smart, but I tell you, I think that's pride. I think that's an attitude, right? That's an attitude, I don't need God. That's an attitude, I don't need church. That's an attitude, I don't need the Bible. I don't need you Christians. Well, you don't need us until you're on your deathbed. Then who do you call for? Amen. Hey, pride is a nasty thing. It says that God said it's an abomination. Listen to Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29 verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now folks, I don't find a whole lot of anything in the Bible that speaks well of pride. I find a whole lot of things in the Bible that condemns it and says God despises it. Listen to this. Psalm 10 and verse number 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Just recently in the state of Texas, it was all on the newspaper. The state of Texas put to death their 500th prisoner. Just recently, did you see it in the paper? Lethal injection. 500. Nobody even close to the state of Texas. Instituting corporal punishment. But they executed this individual by what is called lethal injection. I did a little study about lethal injection. You know what? Basically what they do is they poison them. That's what it is. And I begin to look at how it takes effect. Many of these people never go into convulsions. Many of these people never even know what's happening. It comes upon them in such a way that they just close their eyes and they go off into eternity. I begin to read about lethal injection, and it said, first of all, that the injection, the poison that's injected into them, starves the body of energy to operate properly. In other words, it destroys, first of all, the will to live. Because then there's no way. I'm strapped down. I can't do anything. It breaks down the will or the body's energy to operate. The next thing they say it does, it paralyzes the heart from functioning properly. The heart can no longer function and pump blood as it should. Then they say it slows the breathing process of the lungs and it causes malfunction in breathing. You just stop breathing. Now, folks, listen. Have you noticed it's a progressive thing here? That pride doesn't just pop up in your mind. It pops up as a thought. It pops up as an action. And it just begins to grow and begins to get worse and worse. Then they said it creates an unconsciousness to surrounding. They say that through this, you lose your hearing. You lose your eyesight. It literally breaks you down in every area until finally and eventually the control of the body is shut down and death occurs. Can I say to you, in Scripture, that sounds exactly like pride. Can I say to you this morning, my dear friend, listen to me carefully, that pride is a terrible, it's an awful thing. If you're not careful, you'll be poisoned to death with it. Because Satan is wanting to inject you with the same pride. Listen, folks, he's anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Holy Spirit, anti-Bible, anti-Christian. Listen to me. And he's anti-life. Anti-life. You say, well, preacher, he can't be that bad. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think about somebody that kills babies? You're going to uphold them in great esteem? No, that's terrible. They ought to go to prison for the rest of their life. Well, he'll go to the lake of fire for all eternity. Hey, can I tell you something? This thing of abortion, people killing babies and stuff. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to me. He's only using men to carry out his device. That's all he's doing. He's just using people to kill these innocent babies. You know why? Because there's a potential they might become a Christian. There's a potential that the army of God might be built. So listen, what better way than just kill them in the womb? How many of you saw the newspaper the other day, the old boy that went down here, killed three people, killed his mother-in-law, killed a little boy, killed his girlfriend that had an unborn child, and they charged him with four murders. Now, wait a minute. Wait. You can't have your cake and eat it too. It's either a lie or it's not a lie. So how can you charge him for a fourth murder if the baby hadn't been born yet and you're saying it's not a lie? Now how can you do that? You see, the thing about it is they define their own terms. That's baloney. And I'm here to tell you that Satan is, listen, what he's trying to do today, folks, he's defining his own terms. And people are buying into it. Listen to me. He's poisoning the minds of people against God. You know what he's trying to do? Listen to me. He's trying to starve your spirit and soul of every possibility to live. He's trying to starve your soul and your spirit of every possibility to live. You know what he wants to do? He wants to starve you, first of all, from the Bible. Now listen, I'm not a genius. You say, I know I can tell that just a few minutes I heard you open your mouth. That's all right. But listen to me. I'm just going to tell it like it is, all right? I ain't stupid. Things that are different cannot be the same. And if you were as smart as Lucifer, who is now Satan, if you were as smart as he was, doesn't it make sense to confuse people on what the truth is? So you know what I would do? I would do the same thing he did. I would flood the market with hundreds and hundreds of versions of the Bible. You say, oh, preacher, they're all the same. That King James Bible, that's just too hard to read. Come on now, help me out. Have you ever read some of the books that's on your bookshelf? Hey, some of the books on our bookshelf, we read, we don't seem to have any problem with that. And it uses language a whole lot more difficult than the Bible does. So if you were the devil and you wanted to starve people from the Word of God, wouldn't it make sense to just confuse them on what the Word of God is? He's trying to starve us, my dear friend, from the Bible, from finding out what the truth is. And what else he's trying to starve people? He's trying to starve people from preaching. From preaching. Hey, listen. You know why the churches around America aren't full today? Because they don't like preaching. That preacher can't tell me what to do. I know, and neither can God tell you what to do either. That's the attitude of people. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm just giving you the information. I'm just leading you to the water. You're going to have to drink it or not. People, he's trying to starve us from preaching, from the Bible. Hey, he's trying to starve us from the fellowship of other believers. He doesn't want you to be around other born-again believers. You know why? Because many times you become like the people you're around. He doesn't want you around the fellowship of believers. He's trying to starve us from these things. He's trying to cause the energy of our life and starve us from the possibility of life. He's trying to starve us from the church service. You know, it's a sad thing today. Because you know who the guilty people are today? The reason the church is in such a condition that it's in is, it's the devil! No, it's not. You say, it's those nasty heathens out! No, it's not. The reason the church is in the condition of the day is the people that are sitting in this building. You know why? Because listen, we're gung-ho, we'll come to church, we'll sit in the pew. Amen! Amen! That's right, preacher! Amen. We'll get outside here, go to work. They'll say, you know what? Are you a born-again believer? What makes you think that? Well, why do you ask? I don't know. I just heard Christian music come out of your car. Well, I might or might not be. Why do you ask? Listen, nobody should ever have to ask. They ought to be able to see it on your countenance. It's called a smile. It's called the joy of the Lord. Hey, listen, Satan is trying to poison us and starve us from the Bible and from preaching and from the fellowship of believers and from the church and serving a God. Listen, if he can take away our energy to operate, he can cease us from functioning. We're taking a lethal injection of pride. But listen, not only does he want to starve our spirit and soul of every possibility to live, listen, he wants to paralyze our heart of every possibility to choose. He doesn't want us to make a choice for Christ. Listen, he wants to paralyze us and our self-respect. Now listen to me. Some of you are sitting here under the sound of my voice while I'm preaching. The devil's saying, you don't have to listen to them. You don't have a chance in this world. He doesn't understand you, what you've done, and you're as rotten as dirt. So you don't have any, you don't have any hope. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to this preacher. You have the hope to be saved. As long as you're breathing. So take a deep breath. You still have an opportunity then. You say, but preacher, you don't understand what I did. You're exactly right. It doesn't really matter whether I understand it or not. What matters is when Christ died for you on a cross 2,000 years ago, listen to me, he understood it all. All of your sins were in the future, and yet he was able to take those upon himself and become sin for us. Satan is trying to paralyze us in this area of self-respect. He's trying to convince you that you're a nobody. God doesn't care. He's trying to paralyze any feelings of hope that we might have to help us in the condition that we're in to even get any better than what we are or putting our faith and trust in Christ. Listen, he's here to try to paralyze any concern for your own well-being in the future. Don't raise your hand, but I know how, I said it in my young Christian life. I don't think God can use me. I just don't have what it takes. You know what? You're right on that one. You don't have what it takes, but the Spirit of God that lives in you does have what it takes. All you got to do is want to be available and just let him use you. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, listen to me. Satan's ultimate goal is to poison you to death, to starve your soul and spirit of any possibility to live, to paralyze your heart from any possibility to choose. Let me say one more. He's here to desensitize your mind of every possibility to glorify God. You see, there was a time to where that was his number one purpose, was to glorify God. Folks, listen to me. Listen to this preacher. He is not in the business of glorifying God anymore. He's in the business of undeifying God. He's in the business of humiliating God and Christians and disrespecting the Lord. Hey, he's trying to desensitize us in so many areas. Folks, listen, this started a long time ago, but he's so desensitized America as in concerning the area of morality. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Hey, things that 50 years ago people would blush on TV, don't even flinch anymore. The language that people use today, 50 years ago people would flinch at, don't even flinch anymore. Why? He's desensitized us morally, but he's also desensitized us socially. Yeah, he's desensitized us socially. I'm amazed at just out and about, just watching the unconcern that people have for anybody else. It is. I'm shocked. Maybe I shouldn't be shocked. But folks, people, many of the people, they don't care about anybody else. It's like, you know what? I've got to get from point A to point B. Do not get in my way. And if you get in my way and I go into a rage, I will shoot you. Yeah. I'll just pull out my gun. You think, are you kidding me? You're going to go to 20 years in prison because a guy pulled out in front of you? Are you nuts? But that's where we are. Listen, folks, we've been desensitized morally. We've been desensitized socially. Listen to me. We've been desensitized spiritually. Just recently, I knocked on the door to talk to a guy. I began to witness to him. He said, well, are y'all from one of those churches that believes? And he began to rattle off a whole bunch of things. He said, Baptists. Y'all, the first thing he mentioned, I guess y'all don't believe in dancing, do you? I said, well, in heaven, It'd be all right, though. He said, y'all don't believe it. Man, he just started rattling off a bunch of things. And here's what he ended with. He said, don't you people understand God doesn't care? God doesn't care what music you listen to. God doesn't care what people you hang around. God doesn't care about this. God doesn't care about that. Well, then let me ask you this. If God doesn't care, let's just have a Bible burning after church this morning and let's just burn them all. Hey, you know what? God does care, and He gave us a whole book called the Bible to show us that He does care. It's just that we've been desensitized. You see, this poison of pride will bring us into an unconsciousness of our surroundings. And folks, that's where we are today. We are absolutely unconscious of our surroundings, and we are being overrun by immorality. We're being overrun by socialistic philosophy and ideas, by the way, which is going to lead, if we don't snap out of it, it's going to lead us to a day we're going to regret and rue the day that we ever had that type of system. Amen. Now listen to me. Again, Satan's ultimate goal is to humiliate God, disrespect God. He wants to steal glory from the Father for himself. Listen, this was his goal in heaven. Why do you think he said, I will ascend into heaven? I'm going to lift myself up above the Most High. Listen, he even thought that in heaven he would do that. It's always been his goal, both in heaven and in earth. Let me finish and say this. The very thing, folks, that poisoned the heart of Lucifer, that caused him to become Satan, is the very thing that he's attempting to control you and I with today. If you're here this morning and you've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, in just a moment, I'm going to give invitation. And the first thing, if you're not careful, you're going to feel a spiritual arm go up and you're going to feel a shot go into your arm. And you're going to feel an injection of pride. And you're going to feel, listen now, you're going to feel yourself beginning to be starved of the energy to even do anything about it. You're going to feel yourself being paralyzed in your heart about even caring about your condition. That's what pride does. It brings you to a place that you're totally unconscious about your surroundings. And he's trying his best to do everything he can to cause you and I to turn away from God. And folks, I don't know about you. There was a day when I sat in the pew like you did and like you are this morning. And I heard the preacher preach. The preacher preached. The invitation was given. I didn't have any intentions of coming down. Hey, I was standing right back here. I was listening to the preacher. I was looking around, you know. And then I thought, well, I better bow my head. So I bowed my head. And man, all of a sudden, I felt a sting in my arm. You know what that sting was? That was a sting. Somebody trying to give me an injection. You say, of what? It's called pride. Because the preacher kept saying, come on, somebody here needs Christ. Come on. And boy, listen, the more he cried, the more he yelled, the more that he pleaded, I thought, man alive, that's getting deeper and deeper. Because I had no intentions of going. And listen, while I was trying to be injected with pride to stop me from being saved, about that time, God used a woman right behind me to just reach out with her hand and tap me on the shoulder. And I turned and looked at her, and this is all she said. I'll watch the baby if you would like to go. Listen, my entire life started flashing in front of me. I think, why do you think I want to go? And secondly, listen, you know what? I think for some reason, somehow, God gave her some spiritual insight to say, you know what? If this guy don't go, he's fixing to be inoculated. This could be it. And God used a woman to tap me on the shoulder to step out of the aisle and walk down that aisle right there. And listen, it's been an incredible life ever since. You see, when I stepped out of that pew and I walked down that aisle, I took that out of my arm. I said, listen, first of all, I don't like shots. You say, you got a phobia against needles? I got a phobia against anything sharp. You see, I didn't want to be inoculated. Because I knew if I get inoculated tonight, I've taken this shot so many times in my life, I was probably done for. Some of you this morning, you've been inoculated so many times. You've heard what I've said this morning so many times. You've heard the appeal to be saved so many times. For some of you, you may walk out that back door this morning. This could be it for you. There may not be any more opportunities and chances. Are you willing to take the chance with your soul to spend an eternity without Christ in a lake of fire and then come face to face with the one who inoculated you all your life? To become face to face with the one who put the sting of pride in you that kept you from being saved. You say, I'm going to punch him in the nose. Well, good luck. You'll have all eternity to do it. But do you want to do it in the lake of fire? I don't think so. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again Christian. Don't you slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. If I died today, no question about it, preacher, I'm heaven-bound. Slip it up way up high so the preacher can see it. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. Nobody's looking but me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians ought to be praying. I think just about every hand was raised. There might have been one or two that could not be raised this morning. But I want to ask you a question. If you couldn't raise your hand, do you want to die without Christ? Do you want to spend an eternity in a place called the lake of fire with this one person who once was Lucifer but now is Satan, who's been trying to inoculate your life? And may I say to Christian, you're not immune to pride. He's trying to inoculate you with pride to keep you, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He's trying to inoculate you to keep you from serving God. But if you're here this morning and you say, preacher, if I died where I am, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. And would you at least let me pray for you? And you say, preacher, please pray for me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Please pray for me. Nobody's looking at me. Would you slip your hand up so I'll know who you are and I'll pray for you? I'll pray for you. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hands down. God bless you and you. Who will join these few? God bless you. You can put your hand down. You say, preacher, that's me. Who will join these three or four and say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died. Go ahead and pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. God bless you. There's another one. Who will join these others? There's been four, I think. Raise your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. There's a fifth one right there. Hey, folks, listen, don't die and go to hell for anybody. He's trying to inoculate you right now. He's trying to shut your hearing off. He's trying to cause your ability to focus to go awry this morning. Who will join these five and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. If I died where I am, I'm not sure I got heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody else? All right. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. After I got saved, please pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism after I got saved. Pray for me. I want you to slip your hand up. Say, that's me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. God bless you. God bless you and you. All right, who will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to obey God in that area. Anybody else? All right. Then one last question. I wonder how many this morning say, preacher, I'm a child of God, but I struggle in that area of pride. There's just so many things in my life. It just seems like it pops up every moment of every day. It just seems like it is terrorizing me, preacher. You say, preacher, would you pray that God will give me victory over this? That I'll be able to resist the inoculation of pride in my life, that I might be able to serve the living God? How many of you say, preacher, pray for me? Why don't you slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. Pray for 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 me. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I'm going to turn this invitation strictly over to you that your will be done. You know hearts. I can't see the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, but you can. You know the needs. Father, you sent these people for this congregation this morning, some to be saved, some to be baptized, some to be added to the church, some that are Christians, Lord, to come this morning and say, I'm not going to be inoculated with pride anymore. I'm not going to allow this to starve me and paralyze my life and desensitize me to the things that I know are right from the Bible. Oh, listen to me, dear friend. Oh, please hear the cry of God this morning. Now, Father, please have your way now in this invitation, and we'll give all the glory and praise for the results in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed,